chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1 through 5. We're going to read them. And here's one of the things that I have noted in just observing us when we read that I want you to be mindful of today. As Brandy puts them on the screen, read them more from the screen so that when she flips from one verse to the next, you're with everybody's in the same place versus when you read directly from your Bible. Amen. And then when you get home, you can reread it from your Bible. But today, let's do it from the screen so that we can stay together. Amen. And so we're going to read Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 34 and 1, and then we're going to read Psalm 150, verse 6. So let's read. Now, right now, we're going to read verses 1 and 2 because they're on the screen. Read, please. And it shall. Great shout. Remain standing, and I'm going to talk to you today from this subject, and the subject is praise him for your not yet. Praise him for your not yet. Now, remain standing for a moment. Praise him for your not yet. I just want you to take a moment, and I just want you to share with somebody what you think this subject, this sermon might be about. Praise him for your not yet. Talk to somebody and tell them what you think this message might be about. Somebody ought to already be getting happy. Not yet. Praise him for your not yet. You may be seated. Listen, when I was a kid, I would ask mother, because my brothers and sisters would always put me up to asking whatever they wanted to know. They put me up to asking. And I would ask, Mother, is dinner ready? And she would say, not yet. She said, but you all go on in there and wash your hands and come back and say grace. And I thought, okay, so we'll wash our hands, come back, and now that I've been to school for a minute and know that A-B-O-U-T is about and not bout, we would say, Lord, we thank you for what we bout to receive. Not yet. We don't have it yet, but we're about to get it. Amen. There are times that in spite of all that God has spoken into our spirits, we still find ourselves facing situations, facing hurdles and circumstances that seem to be like brick walls, and they're going to happen, but not yet. We sometimes find that there is brokenness that hinders us from receiving what God has desired for us to have. And this brokenness is called walls. And it is not that we're not going to receive what he has for us, but not yet. We find that there are some burdens in life that we're trying to bear, and some unforgiveness in our spirits, some inability to move beyond who and what we are today. They're called walls. I realize that these walls have not fallen yet, but they're going to. Nevertheless, I'm here to tell you that no matter what the walls are in your life, let me say this one more time. I am here to tell you that no matter what the walls are in your life, let me say this one more time. No matter what the walls are in your life, our God is sufficient in everything. Let me say that again. He is sufficient in everything. The God who has brought us thus far did not bring us to the wilderness to leave us. I need you to be participatory within this message. So if you will, get on the edge of your seat right now, because you're sitting on the edge of your promised land. Your eyes may not be able to see it, but set your spirit to receive it. You're on the edge of your breakthrough. You may not know it, but you're on the edge of your victory. You're on the brink of receiving the fullness of the promises of God. And your walls are about to come tumbling down. And I know that they have not fallen, not yet, but you have got to start hearing them before you see them fall. As we look at our text this morning, we find the Israelites in the same position as some of us are in right now. And here's what I want you to do is take a moment and let's just check out the Israelites. Check them out. They are standing on the edge of the promised land. Finally, they are standing on the edge of their promised land after their years of bondage. Finally, they're standing on the edge of the promised land after facing the Red Sea. Finally, they're standing on the edge of the promised land after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and after losing their leader, Moses. Finally, they're standing on the edge of the promised land generations after the promise had already been spoken to Abraham, Isaac, as well as Jacob. And after their period of trial, tribulation, and travails, now they're standing with the promised land in their vision. But there is a catch here. There's a bit of a tear in the rug. You see, even though they have caught a glimpse of the promised land, in spite of the fact that their place of victory is just around the corner, they still can't touch it yet. You see, there is this issue of a wall. And a wall is separating them from the fulfillment of the promise. I have to ask you this morning, what is separating you from the fulfillment of the promise? A wall is hindering them from moving where they are right now to the place that God has called them to be, and therefore is a not yet moment in their lives. And Joshua and the children of Israel were on a conquest to gain the promised land. In order for them to get there, they had to overcome and conquer the obstacles in their way. And I wonder how many of you have found yourself in a similar situation where you recognize that God has spoken his promises over you, but yet you find yourself facing walls, remembering that walls are just barriers and obstacles and limitations and unbelief. Walls are just not yet. We find ourselves facing a gap that needs to be bridged, some growth that needs to take place, a stronghold that needs to be broken, a wall that needs to be removed that keeps us from receiving the God-ordained place of victory on our side. So the question becomes, how do we remove the wall? How do we overcome the not yet? How do we position ourselves to receive all that God desires for us to have in our lives and become? The scripture tells us in verse 2 that the Lord said to Joshua, "See, S-E-E, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho." That brings me to my first point. The word "see" is an interesting word, which brings me to that point this morning that I have to tell you, we must develop our spiritual eyesight. Understand that when God begins this conversation with Joshua, God wants him to see this situation with his spiritual eye. God is not asking Joshua to see the situation through his physical eye. He's not asking him to evaluate the situation based on what he can touch or based on what is tangible. God is not even asking Joshua to evaluate it based on what seems reasonable. God is telling Joshua to look with his spiritual eye, and we must see things through the spiritual eye even while we're in the crucible of pressure. Even when it looks like all hope is gone, we can look to the hills from whence cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. So here Joshua stands, overlooking the city of Jericho. Jericho, here he stands looking at it. Jericho was the city that Joshua and Caleb, along with 10 other spies, had looked upon 40 years earlier. This was the same Jericho that the children of Israel had decided that they would be unable to conquer. This was the Jericho which had two walls that encompassed the city. Jericho, this fortified, unconquerable city. And now God is saying, "See, I have given into thy hand Jericho." So God is asking Joshua, "Joshua, you got to have some faith. You got to have some faith." Tell your neighbor, "You got to have some faith. You got to have some faith." I'm talking about some shown up faith. You got to have some faith. He's saying to Joshua that I have spoken a promise to the people of Israel, and in this moment, I'm about to make good on my word. How many know God will make good on his word? How many know God will make good on his word? Now look, don't evaluate the goodness of God's word by your own measuring stick. Because just because God does not come when you want him to come does not mean God won't come. You just got to wait upon the Lord. And it was Isaiah that said, "They that wait up," somebody talk with me, "they that wait upon the Lord shall renew," come on with me, somebody, "they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." My second point is this, that you got to be willing to put action with your faith. You got to put some action with your faith. It's one thing, Nikki, for Ernie to come in and say, "Oh, I love you, baby." But every now and then, he need to add something to that. He ought to bring you a little something every now and then, don't you think? How about a rose to go along with it every now and then? Just saying it ain't good enough. You need to add a little something with it. Now, when you look at the scripture, one would suspect that when God gives an order like that, when God gives an order that you got to put some faith with it, an order to simply march around the wall day after day, that there would be some objection, that somebody would balk at the command. If I told y'all that we were going to meet up here every day at Shiloh from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we were going to walk around this church, and we were going to just walk around this church, and we were going to just walk around this church, and somebody's going to do, and do what? No, we just going to be obedient to God, and we just going to walk around this church. But on the day 7, that's when we going to open our mouths, and we going to let out a shout like y'all wouldn't believe. And let me tell you, somebody would already be saying, "I know something got to be wrong with him. I know that God didn't tell him to tell us to come up here in this cold and walk around this church. He's just thinking up stuff for folks to do. I don't know about you, but I ain't going." Well, let me tell you, baby, you ain't got to come alone. But when God's got something for you, somebody help me out. When God's got something for you. Yes, sir. And the interesting thing here is that the Israelites were not afraid to trust God to do a new thing, even in their not yet moment. I have a question for you. How many of us are afraid to let God do a new thing in our lives? How many of you are afraid to let God do a new thing in your life? Afraid to let God do a new thing in your situation? Yet, many of us, when God starts speaking, when God starts trying to do a new thing in our lives, we get a case of the stiff neck and a case of the lead foot because we refuse to move forward on the promises of God. The only thing that causes us to stand still in our not yet moment is a lack of our faith. And our not yet, it is as though we believe somehow that the same God, I'm talking about in your not yet, it is though we believe that the same God at the beginning was, at the beginning of creation, was able to speak light into darkness, the same God that was able to bring order out of chaos suddenly can't help us. Why is it that in our not yet moments, we think that God has turned his back on us? In our not yet moments, it is as though we believe somehow that the same God that was able to speak to the Red Sea and had it open up so that the Israelites could cross over on dry land has become incapable of crossing us over. In our not yet moments, it is as though we believe somehow that the same God that loves us so much that he would number even the hairs on our head, that somehow the same God that loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that somehow the same God that was able to raise that same Son on the third day with all power in his hand, that somehow that same God is suddenly unable to perform the miraculous with the impossible. It is as if sometimes we forget that God is bigger than the not yet in our lives. Somebody ought to come with me today. You see, when we refuse to move on what God says in our not yet, it is as if we're saying, "I believe he's Alpha, but I don't believe he's Omega. I believe he's the beginning, but I don't believe he's the end. I believe he's the author, but I don't know about him being the finisher of our faith." We allow our fear of the unknown and the uncertainty to paralyze us and limit us from realizing that God has planned for our lives while we're living in our not yet. God already has plans. Tell somebody that I'm praising him in my not yet. Let me see if I can help you out in your not yet. Got a job? Not yet, but I'm still praising him. Got a house? Not yet, but I'm still praising him. Got approved for your apartment? Not yet, but I'm still praising him. Got a car? Not yet, but I'm still praising him. Is there anybody in here that's ever been in a not yet moment and you can still give God praise? So here's the question. Here's the question. How can you praise like you do in your not yet season? How can you praise like you do? Can I help you out? God has told us that he would give us the desires of our heart. God has told us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He has told us that he is our strength and our refuge, that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. Yet we act as if he's not omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and that he has not charted a path for our life and ordained a place of victory, even in our not yet. In our not yet, we are unsure of where our feet are going to land. But when you're a child of the king, you ought to not be doubting where your feet are going to land in your not yet. Why should you not doubt, preacher? You should not doubt because the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You may not know where you're going, but your order has already been placed. And how many of you know God will order your step? I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. Preacher, every time I make two steps, seem like I make one step backwards. But you still one step ahead of where you were, because you made two and went back one. Somebody got to learn how to give God praise in your not yet. I'm here to tell you that God is ready to do a new thing in your life. And when God starts moving on your behalf, I don't care what comes up against you, there is no weapon formed against you that can prosper, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if God be for you, if God be for you, I'm going to break it down to y'all today. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God be for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, says, yea, in all of these things, not just Isaiah, Joshua, but in all of these things, all of us, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And let me tell you something, babies. Even in my not yet, Isaiah, Joshua, I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In order to bring down the walls in our life, we must develop a praise him in our not yet times. You see, the scripture tells us that the Israelites were doing as God commanded and were going around the wall for the seventh time on the seventh day. And as God commanded on that seventh time, the priest let out a blast on the trumpet. Now, let me clarify something to make sure we're all on the same page. There's an interesting thing about trumpets. The trumpet that these priests were sounding were not the trumpets to announce that there was a battle going on or war going on. These trumpets were the same trumpets that are used in worship to signify the presence of the Lord in that place. These were the trumpets of Jubilee. These were the trumpets of praise. And please note here that at the time that these trumpets of Jubilee began to sound, that the walls were still standing. They were sounding in the night yet. See, you got to understand that just because, here's what you got to get, and don't you miss this morning. At the time that the trumpet began to blow, they were still standing. It was after they started blowing and the praises went up in the place that the walls came down. Just because the musicians got the music going, it doesn't mean your wall is going to come down. Sometimes you got to be bold enough to be the only one in the church up on your feet, giving God praise, giving God a hallelujah, even if it means all by yourself, because you know walls are getting ready to fall down in your life. Yes, sir. The shouts that went up were in the not yet. And they had to praise him in the before breakthrough time. The shouts went up not because the victory was already won, but the shouts went up because the Israelites understood that the battle was not theirs, but the Lord's. Listen, their praising began not because they had fulfilled the promise, but the praise went up in recognition of the fact that God had spoken promise, and the word of promise that he had spoken was going to accomplish that thing that it was sent out to do. Anything that God speaks is going to take place. It would not return back void. The praises went up in recognition of the fact that no matter what things may look like from the outside, that God has already ordered their steps, and he had shown them without a question that all of the praises of God in him are yea and amen. And as a result, when the praises went up, the walls fell down. Listen, baby, if we want some walls to fall down in Shiloh, we got to come to our feet and we just got to give God an undignified praise. You got to praise him and not care what anybody cares. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but somebody in here needs some walls to fall down in your life. You've been making progress by living in the Spirit. You've been making progress by praying in the Spirit, and you have believed the word of God, and you were advancing in spiritual victory. But now it seems that you've come up against a wall. You've come up against a not yet. You need to remember that walls represent barriers and obstacles and limitation and unbelief, and you will feel like you are up against a barrier, like something is hindering you or an obstacle that is in your way and preventing you from making progress. As a matter of fact, the condition says that you are limited, but it's time to shout unto the Lord for your walls to start coming down. You need to shout down your not yet. See, you need to shout down your unbeliefs of not yet. You need to quit talking negatively to yourself and telling yourself it ain't gonna never happen. You just need to say, self, it hadn't happened, not yet, but it's about to come out of the oven. And sometimes you got to go through the heat in order for things to work out in your life. Look at your neighbor and tell them, not yet is almost over in your life. I dare you to shout like you have victory right now. I dare you to shout like you got victory right now. I dare you to start praising God like you crazy right now. Don't you wait till the battle is over. You can shout right now. I need somebody to 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 shout right now to say, God has been too good to me for me to sit here and not give him some praise. Let me tell you why I need you to shout. I need you to shout because when you shout, you confuse the enemy. You mess with the enemy. The enemy does not even know what's getting ready to happen when you start shouting in the church. But he will see the ending of your story. So praise him in your not yet. While you not there yet, you go ahead and start praising him. Here's what the enemy is going to say. Wait a minute. I thought I got you down this week so low. I thought I got you so depressed that you wouldn't show up at church today. No, I'm here because I got to give God some praise. I got to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. I just got to bless his name. Is there anybody that's got to bless his name this morning? Anybody in here caught hell all week long? But you've come in here this morning to say to hell with hell, because I'm getting ready to praise him in the house today. Somebody talk back to me this morning. Talk back to me this morning. We need to learn that when we praise God, he inhabits our praise. Praise him before trouble comes your way. Don't wait until you get in trouble to start praising God. Praise him right now. When we learn how to praise him before trouble comes our way, we worry less. When we learn how to praise him before trouble comes, we will not have sleepless nights. When we learn how to praise him before trouble comes, our heads won't be racked with so much pain. Our bodies won't ache so much, because there's no problem too hard for God. Is there anybody in here that know no matter what you're going to, ain't nothing too hard for God to solve? Is there anybody know that he's a problem solver? You might say my life is a mess, but is there anybody know that he can take a mess and make a messenger out of a mess? Do I have anybody can talk with me this morning? How many times have you found yourself at the crossroads of I don't know what to do in the time of trouble, when it seems like nothing is going right, when it seems like all hope is gone? But when you have a not yet praise, what happens where God is concerned is that the relationship that you have on the inside of you with God will cause the Holy Ghost to reveal to you that in the time of trouble, that God's promises to be a very present help in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble, he promises to be a very present help in the time of trouble. And since God's promises are good, he is not like a man that he should lie. So if you establish a relationship and if you praise him before the dark days come, it'll be a whole lot brighter when the dark days get there. Somebody's going through something right now. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you're going through something right now and you can't find any way out of what you're going through. But I've come by to tell you, by the power of God and the gift of the Holy Spirit, I have come to deliver the mail to you this morning. Don't get mad at the mailman, because I've come to tell you and to let you know that God is getting ready to break the devil off of your back. And the devil that's been messing with you is getting ready to sit down somewhere and be quiet. How many of you know God can speak a devil down? How many of you know God can talk a devil down? He'll get the devil off your back. I hear in my spirit that the people of God will not live a defeated life. We shall not be broke always. We shall not be sick always. We ain't gonna be poor always. We ain't gonna be underprivileged always. I hear David saying in the book of Psalms that I shall not die, but I shall live. And since I have a desire to live, I will praise the Lord all the times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. I don't care what I'm going through. I'm just gonna have to praise God through it. I don't care how tough it gets. I'm just gonna have to praise God through it. I don't care how bad it looks. I'm just going to have to praise God through it, because his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Weeping may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night. But I just need somebody to help me out. But joy is coming in the morning. The Lord will have us to know that praise is man's highest duty and God's greatest joy. If you really want to make the Lord happy, I dare you to praise his name. There are many people around the world that still don't know who Jesus is. They're waiting on us to let them know what the Lord will do for them. God will have us to know that if we have been delivered from the strongholds, that it's our job to testify and tell somebody just how good God has been. I know down through the years, folks have talked about me for years. People have given me nickname Boo-Hoo. Folks have said I cry at the drop of the hat. I don't mind folks talk about me crying at the drop of a hat, because if you knew how good God has been to me, if you knew all that God had done for me, if you knew where God brought me from, then you would probably be crying too. You just don't understand the goodness of God and how God has brought me out. And that's why the Bible says, if God has done anything for you, if he just gave you breath, it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And that's why you ought to not have to be pumped nor pride to give God praise. Just because you can breathe, you ought to give God some praise in the house. So many times we feel like we don't have anything to praise the Lord for. But you and I, we have something to praise the Lord for. You ought to praise him. Because can't nobody do you like Jesus? Can't nobody do you like the Lord? Is there anybody here that ever tried him? Is there anybody can say he's all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? I'm so glad I tried him for myself. And he said, Lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Maybe not yet, but just hold on a little while. Because we've got a great example of not yet. It was on Friday that Jesus went down in the grave. They checked and said, look, is he still there? Because Isaiah had already predicted that in 3 days he'd get up. And the answer was not yet. They checked on Saturday morning and wanted to know, is he still there? Did he get up? And they said, not yet. He's still in the grave. They checked at noon on Saturday. Is he still there? Did he get up? He's still here. You sure he hadn't gotten up? The answer was not yet. They checked Saturday night and they asked, did he get up yet? And the answer was not yet. But can you just hold on till Sunday morning? Can you just hold on till Sunday morning? Can you just hold on just a little while longer? Because on Sunday morning, they phoned down and wanted to know, has he gotten up? They said, he's up. There was a rock on top of a rock, and the rock got up out of the grave, not with some power, but with all power in his hand. And the church ought to come to your feet and tell God hallelujah, which is the highest praise. Is he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right? Is he all right? I know he's all right. I know he's all right. Yes, he is. 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 I know he's all right. 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 Tried him for myself, and I know he's all right. I know he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. I know he's all right. Woo! I know he's all right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, glory to God.
Not yet.